Chapter 57. Lying on his side with Draco wrapped around him, Harry woke slowly to the sound of voices. It took him a few seconds to remember that they'd all slept in the same room. Ron and Hermione had been fine, and the night before had been rather fun. All of them had stayed up late, sitting around in their pajamas, eating sweets and drinking butterbeer, simply talking. He'd been having fun, but he'd been so tired that it had been difficult at times to stay awake. He had the feeling he'd fallen asleep first, as he couldn't remember going to bed. He kept his eyes shut as he listened to his friends. "They're cute, aren't they?" came the sound of Hermione's voice.
"Cute?"
That was definitely Ron. "Well, Malfoy insists that they're not sweet." Ginny's voice had the ring of practical reason. "Cute describes them as well." "What Ginny's really thinking is that they're hot," came Blaise's dry voice.
"Hot?"
Ron echoed Harry's thoughts.
"Ginny, what are you thinking? It's a Harry and Malfoy!"
There was a pause.
"And aren't you her boyfriend?"
"Why does being her boyfriend render me blind?"
"You're not gay!"
"Why does being straight render me blind?" Harry could feel Draco shaking, suppressed laughter. Blaise had apparently decided to take pity on Ron. "I happen to appreciate beautiful things. Those two together are very beautiful."
"And hot," Ginny's voice piped up.
"Beautiful?" Ron had turned questioning, rather than outraged, and obviously decided to ignore Ginny.
"You're sure?"
"Oh, honestly, Ron, surely even you can see that."
"What if I don't want to see it?"
"They're not going to go away, are they?" Draco asked.
"I don't think so," Harry answered.
The room fell silent.
At least it's quiet again," Draco murmured sleepily.
"Thanks, mates,"
Fred and George called over their appreciation. Harry wondered how they'd managed to do that one in unison, from different locations.
"Welcome," he answered anyway.
The silence lasted for a full minute. Harry counted.
"Aren't you gonna get up?" Ron demanded. "Who says I'm not already up?" Draco drawled.
"You're not..."
Ron stopped abruptly. Harry could hear muffled laughter and a sharp inhale that was probably Hermione.
"Draco, was it really necessary to tell them that?" he asked.
"It's true?" Ron exclaimed.
"Oh, Merlin," he said, sounding faint. "I did not need to know that." "It's true if it'll get you to leave us alone for a few minutes," Draco said.
Harry knew perfectly well that Draco wasn't hard. If he had been before Harry woke up, he wasn't at this point. Harry certainly wasn't hard, knowing that all his friends were watching them.
"Draco, quit teasing Ron," he said. "We're not going to be allowed to go back to sleep, even if you do manage to cause Ron to faint."
"You're no fun, Harry," Draco said.
"I'll remind you that you said that when we do wake up alone," Harry said, smiling. He wasn't surprised when Draco finally moved, rolling Harry onto his back. He opened his eyes to see Draco glaring at him from close range.
"Morning, love," he said, with a cheeky grin.
"Pratt," Draco said, before giving him a kiss.
"Sweet,"
Ginny announced.
Draco sat up, growling.
Harry sat up beside him.
"Time to start another day," he said.
He paused. "Normally the Inquisition doesn't start until breakfast."
"It's not the first time that you're not dressed for it, though," Blaise said, smirking.
Harry tilted his head in acknowledgement.
"I think it's the first time Draco's still in his pajamas for it," he said.
"Since we appear to be doing the morning inquisition in bed," Draco said, "what's on the agenda for today?"
"I don't know," Harry shrugged. "If I'm lucky, I've got a day off. But we know how well that works out for me. I'm sure it would be asking far too much to actually have several days off in a row."
Fred and George rolled out of bed and joined the others at the foot of the bed Harry and Draco had shared for the night. Draco winced.
"I'd managed to forget what you were wearing," he said. In the light of a new day, Harry thought the twins' pajamas were colorful. Although they were correct in stating they weren't bright, they were a slightly darker shade of Slytherin green with deep silver snitches. What was most interesting was the fact that the snitches zoomed around on the fabric, in constant motion. "Harry, you're staring again," Draco drawled. "It's difficult not to watch them," Harry said defensively, caught being mesmerized by the bloody snitches again. "It's my job as a seeker." "If you start chasing those snitches, you're in deep trouble," Draco warned. That managed to tear Harry's attention away from the twins' pajamas. "Sorry," he said sheepishly, flushing at the loud laughter of the others. "If we'd known how enthralled you'd be with them, Harry," George said. "We'd have got some for Malfoy," Fred added. "We simply hadn't considered their potential as a new game for the bedroom," George finished. At that, even Draco was laughing. Harry flopped backwards onto the bed, jerking a pillow over his head. Draco snatched it away from him. "Have I told you lately that I hate you?" Harry asked. "Not today," Draco said, smirking. "Oh, well, I hate you," Harry said. "I hate you too," Draco said fondly. "You two are disgusting," Ron said. Ginny whacked him on the arm. "No, they're sweet," she said. "I've told you this." Harry sat up again, in case he needed to restrain Draco. "Why are all of you standing there watching us? Is there some reason you think we want to venture out alone with Snape on the loose?" Ginny countered. "What's he going to do to you?" Harry asked. "Make you eat breakfast?" Ron's stomach rumbled loudly in response. "See? Go eat," Harry said. "Crabbe and Goyle must be down in the kitchen already." "Harry, they won't even protect you from Snape, let alone protect us," Hermione pointed out dryly. Draco sniggered. "Harry is on his own when it comes to Severus," he agreed. "We may have had our memories modified, but we haven't forgotten the disaster that was yesterday's lunch," Ron said. "Oh, hell," Harry muttered. He'd been focused on Ron and Hermione and had put all his other worries aside. "Don't tell me you'd forgotten," Hermione said incredulously. "I fight with him every day," Harry said defensively. "So yeah, I kind of forgot that yesterday was worse than normal." He frowned. "Or back to normal, like it was before." "Oh, hell," he repeated. "I don't want to go down there either." Draco rolled his eyes. "You're the brave Gryffindor, remember?" He shoved Harry out of bed, who managed to land on his feet. "Come on, we're showering in our own room." They showered and dressed quickly, back to meet the others within 20 minutes. "I can't believe you lot are too scared to go to breakfast without Harry," Draco grumbled. He eyed Ginny with Blaise's arm around her waist. "Surely you would have survived with the company you're keeping." "It's called being polite, Malfoy," Ginny retorted. "I was waiting for the others." "Is that what we're doing?" Fred asked, sounding surprised. "I thought we were simply waiting so we could have fun observing everyone," George said. Harry groaned. "We're not serving popcorn for breakfast," he said. "Aw, Harry," said Fred. "Malfoy's right. You're no fun." "Since when did I become boring?" Harry asked rhetorically. He should have known he'd receive an answer anyway. "Oh, we didn't say you were boring, Harry," George said. "There's more excitement around you than anyone else," Fred agreed. "But it's not always fun," George pointed out. "You've been entirely too serious lately, and that must be rectified." "What if Harry's idea of fun isn't the same as yours?" Hermione asked. It came out as a question, but barely. She clearly believed that Harry couldn't possibly enjoy the same things as the twins. "Oh, it's the same," said Fred. "Harry's just smart enough not to admit it in front of you. You heartless prankster-stopping rule-enforcing you." "Never been a better prefect than Hermione," George said proudly. Ron and Harry exchanged glances, trying not to laugh, as Hermione attempted to decide whether to be insulted or not. They'd reached the kitchen and poured into the room. There was a chorus of good mornings as they took their seats. Harry directed a slightly questioning good morning at Severus, and received a small but wry smile in return. Harry beamed a smile at him, happy that Severus had apparently forgiven him for the fiasco of the day before. Everything seemed so much better this morning, now that the stress was over regarding what he'd done to Ron and Hermione. "How are you feeling this morning?" Narcissa asked them. Hermione blinked at her, surprised by the concern in Narcissa's voice. "We feel fine, thank you," she answered politely. "It's actually not as unpleasant as I had feared." "It would have been more unpleasant if you had a less competent spellcaster," Narcissa said in understanding. Harry listened in amazement as the two of them began discussing the pros and cons of memory spells. Remus soon joined them in the conversation. "Everything my mother taught me, she's now thrown out the window," Draco murmured in Harry's ear. "It's all your fault, you know." Harry wasn't sure how to respond. Thankfully, Draco didn't sound upset about it. Rather, he sounded amused. It was kind of funny, and a huge surprise, to see the woman who'd professed to hate mudbloods now speaking congenially with Hermione. "She's not thrown everything out," Harry said suddenly, leaning closer to whisper to Draco. "She's kept those bloody manners things. They appear to overrule everything else." Laughing, Draco kissed Harry on the cheek before turning to his breakfast. Severus was shaking his head in resignation, having overheard them. Harry grinned widely before digging in.
"Daddy!"
Victoria called loudly, capturing Harry and Draco's attention. She was across the table, somehow Remus again being delegated the task of feeding her. There'd been a lot of shuffling with the different people present at mealtimes. "Yes, Victoria?" Draco drawled, eyebrow arched questioningly. Harry rolled his eyes at Draco's attitude. "Good morning, pumpkin," he said, "enjoying breakfast?"
"Nana!"
Victoria said, waving a plump fist full of squished banana. "You're proud that you've suckered Remus into some banana, aren't you?" he said dryly. Victoria sent him a wide grin before stuffing the banana in her mouth, fist and all.
"She's a Malfoy," Narcissa said, looking at Harry. "She does know what she likes, and I do believe she will tell us if there is something she does not like."
Harry frowned at Narcissa suspiciously. Had she heard him talking to Victoria the day before? "So no worries if she doesn't like normal things?" he asked. Narcissa smiled.
"No, no worries," she agreed.
He smiled ruefully, feeling embarrassed that she'd heard him, but reassured all the same. "Thank you," he said.
"You're welcome, Harry," she said.
"Marlin, you have cryptic conversations with everyone!"
Draco exclaimed in exasperation. "One of my many talents," Harry quipped, generating laughter.
"It's not one of your talents I appreciate," Draco muttered darkly.
Harry arched an eyebrow. "So which talents do you appreciate?" he asked. Draco's sudden smirk was lascivious. "No," Severus cut in sharply. "I do not wish to hear it."
"I was only going to say that Harry has an amazing talent for irritating professors," Draco said innocently.
"Quite impressive that you share the same talent," Severus sneered. "I'm afraid to imagine what your classes will be like this year," Remus said.
"These two will be on their best behavior," Severus warned, glaring at Harry and Draco.
"Yes, sir,"
they chorused dutifully. Harry wondered if Severus knew his glares weren't effective anymore. He glanced at his friends and corrected himself. Severus's glares were obviously still effective on some people. Ron, Hermione, and Ginny didn't look certain as to what Severus might do. Fred and George were munching some bacon happily. Harry wondered if it was as satisfying as popcorn, and didn't think it could be.
"You gonna eat, Ron?" he asked. "Oh, yeah," Ron said, glancing at his plate as if it was the first time he'd seen it. Speaking of school, does anyone have any idea who is going to be named head boy and girl this year? Blaise asked. Hermione's head perked up in interest. Harry popped some of his own bacon into his mouth, unconcerned. It'll probably be Harry and Hermione, Ginny said. Not me, Harry said. I don't want it. Why not? Hermione asked, scandalized at the very idea that he would turn down such a position. It'd take away from my snogging time, Harry said flippantly. Harry, Hermione admonished. It's a position of honor. I think I've had enough of that, thanks, he said. I used to want it, but not anymore, Ron said. Too much work, dear Ronniekins? Fred asked. Or too much extra time listening to Hermione spout off about all the rules you shouldn't be breaking? George questioned. Ron scowled at them, but didn't comment, casting a wary glance at Hermione. Harry knew they were right on both accounts. Hermione seemed to realize it as well, because she didn't say anything either. I certainly don't want the position, Blaise said. I have to agree with the sentiment that it's too much work. What is wrong with you students? Lucius drawled. Being a head boy used to be a coveted position. I don't know about Ron and Blaise, but after fighting a war, I don't find being head boy to be such a thrill, Harry said. It sounds like more responsibility, and I'm damn tired of responsibility being heaped on my shoulders. I wanted to be head boy, but I've ruined my chances, Draco said bitterly, and Harry felt bad for him. He knew Draco would have loved to have the coveted position, but it was difficult to feel too sympathetic. Well, the rest of us are right glad you won't get it, he said. Thanks, Harry, Draco snapped sarcastically. Good to know I've got your support. You've got my support, Harry protested. It has nothing to do with last year. I'm just not thrilled with the idea of Mr. Champion of the Inquisitorial Squad being head boy. Merlin Draco, we can overcome what happened last spring. You've certainly made up for those events by what you've done this summer. But do you have any idea how much work it would take to undo the damage you did fifth year? He asked, unconsciously rubbing his thumb over the faint scars on his hand. I wasn't that bad, Draco protested. Was I? He questioned at Harry's incredulous stare. Draco, I'm more upset with you following Umbridge than Voldemort, Harry said. Why? Draco asked, confused. She wasn't nearly as evil as the Dark Lord. Near enough, Harry said darkly. Harry, what is it we do not know? Severus interjected suspiciously. Harry glanced at him, then around the table at the others. Hermione and the Weasleys were gazing at him sympathetically, but everyone else was watching him with wary curiosity and concern. Well, it appears we've uncovered the difficult topic of the day, he quipped. Harry? Severus warned. Rolling his eyes, Harry abandoned his breakfast and held his right hand up for Draco. What do you see? He demanded. Draco shot him a dirty look, but took Harry's hand in his own. There's a pattern to the scars. They've faded. You'll have to look closely to read them. Read them? Draco murmured, but it had given him the clue he needed to make sense of the faint lines. He looked up at Harry. I must not tell lies. Imprinted on my hand with a blood quill, Harry said, courtesy of Umbridge. Why did you not inform anyone? Severus questioned sharply. Who was I supposed to tell? Harry demanded. Dumbledore wouldn't even look at me fifth year. McGonagall just kept telling me to keep my head down and my mouth shut. You were being a nasty bastard, and I would have likely ended up in more detentions. You've always thought I was lying to you. What reason did I have to think you'd believe me that time? You foolish child, Snape said. Why? Harry said. Are you trying to tell me that Dumbledore's hands weren't tied by the Ministry? Severus pinched the bridge of his nose. He would have found some way to stop it, he said. Harry snorted. Yes, probably by switching my detentions to you, and that would have been loads better, he said sarcastically. You stubbornly refused to allow her to torture you into submission, Severus said knowingly, ignoring Harry's last comment.
I certainly wasn't going to let that toad win, Harry agreed. In a way, she was worse than Voldemort. He was always the known evil. Umbridge was actually in Hogwarts, torturing students and corrupting them without everyone being aware of it. Instead of Death Eaters, she had her inquisitorial squad terrorize everyone.
Except you, as usual, Draco said dryly. Harry shrugged. You fucked things up for me as well. But no, I wasn't scared of you, he admitted.
So, do you or do you not believe Draco would do well in a position of leadership? Severus questioned. You've said you support him now, but this discussion leads me to believe otherwise.
Harry glanced at Draco, feeling this was getting a little more personal than he was comfortable with. It brought up Draco's fears and faults, rather than his own, and it didn't feel right to talk about them in front of everyone. Severus wouldn't allow him not to answer, though, and Draco was gazing at him expectantly.
Yes, I support Draco, he answered, focusing on Severus. I think Draco's finally learned what it's like to be on the receiving end of torture and abuse of power. He's grown up, just like we all have, and I think he'd make a fabulous leader. I think he'd be strict and still a pain in the arse, but he'd do a hell of a lot better job than he's done in the past.
But because of his history, Severus said leadingly.
But because of his history, he's got a lot to overcome, Harry said. If he was put into a position such as head boy, no one would respect his authority. No one would go to him for assistance. He'd be resented by everyone for gaining such a position after being a bastard to everyone all these years.
I must not tell lies indeed, Draco muttered. Just tell it like it is, why don't you, Harry?
Sorry, Harry sighed.
Draco shook his head, silently telling him to drop it. Harry let the silence reign for a minute, as everyone resumed eating their breakfasts. But he couldn't handle the tense silence again.
Well, that was a nice mood killer, he announced pleasantly.
Have you had better? Fred asked politely, playing along with him.
Oh, yes, Harry said with false cheerfulness. You should have been here yesterday for lunch. I'm quite surprised you didn't hear the deadly silence all the way into Diagon Alley.
Draco let out a snort of amusement, and Ginny soon followed with a light giggle. It wasn't long before all of them were laughing, releasing the built-up tension. Even Victoria picked up on the mood change, clapping excitedly.
Much better, Remus said in approval. This is far more pleasant, Narcissa agreed.
So, shall we continue to discuss school, or try for a new topic? Harry asked with a cheeky grin.
I'm curious to know when we'll receive our letters, Hermione said.
Ron groaned.
You had to give her a choice, didn't you?
Sorry, mate, Harry said, unrepentant. Do you think Hermione's registered that she's having breakfast with three of her professors?
Ron and Hermione both blinked at him in surprise. Harry smirked at them.
I'll take that as a no, then, he said.
I'd forgotten, Hermione admitted, chagrined. How could I have forgotten?
Meet Professor Malfoy, instructor of potions, Harry said, gesturing to Lucius. He waved to Narcissa. And Professor Malfoy, instructor of transfigurations.
He sent a wicked smirk in Severus's direction.
I believe you all know and love the wondrous Professor Snape, returning to his post as instructor of defense against the dark arts.
Mr. Potter, Severus said silkily, I am quite certain you will do something that will earn you detention on the first day back.
Probably, Harry agreed. The twins' laughter caught his attention, and he turned to look at Ron. Ron was absolutely horrified.
All right, who scared Ron? Harry asked.
You did, Hermione said dryly, looking a little horrified herself. I'm not certain this will be a pleasant year for Gryffindors.
Harry grimaced.
Yeah, I know, he said.
We will be fair, Narcissa said.
Harry gaped at her in disbelief. "Have you by any chance met Professor Snape?" he said. "I know you know Severus, but what about Professor Snape?"
"They're the same person," Draco drawled, but the Git was clearly amused.
"No, they're not," Harry said flatly. "I still can't reconcile the prince with Snape either. I can reconcile him with Severus, but not Snape."
"Are you quite finished talking about me?" Severus asked snidely.
"No, but if you'd like, we can go back to doing it behind your back," Harry said, earning himself a fierce glower, which reminded him that Severus could still scare him.
"Or not," he said.
He rediscovered his backbone moments after he'd lost it. "It's not like you've never talked about me behind my back," he retorted. The gasps at the table were not particularly reassuring, but Harry held his ground as he met Severus's gaze steadily. Severus didn't have that same icy air about him like he'd had the day before, and Harry was feeling much more confident in himself.
"Harry," Draco hissed, "will you please shut up before Severus decides to kill you?"
"No, Harry is correct," Severus said.
"And you're admitting it?" Draco exclaimed in disbelief. His eyes widened, and he snapped his mouth shut with an audible click.
"You are aware, Draco, that there have been extenuating circumstances which have exacerbated relations between Harry and myself," Severus said evenly. Draco simply nodded. Severus transferred his piercing stare back to Harry. "I would prefer that anything you have to say, you say directly to me," he said, "and I shall endeavor to do the same."
Harry followed Draco's lead and simply nodded. He'd pushed his limits far enough. There was another minute of silence before Fred spoke up.
"How does anyone get any food eaten around here?" he asked.
"It's a challenge at times," Draco said dryly.
The ensuing silence was more comfortable as everyone concentrated on their meals, casting warming and cooling charms as needed. Harry waited until everyone was about finished before speaking again.
"So, what do I have to do today?" he asked.
"Ah, the daily ritual," Draco said with mock fondness. "It did feel terribly wrong to conduct it while still in bed."
"Shut it, Draco," Harry said, gazing expectantly at Severus and desperately hoping there was nothing he had to do.
"There are a couple of items we need to discuss," Severus said.
"What is it?" Harry asked, sighing in resignation.
"On Saturday, there is to be a celebration at Hogwarts," Severus said. He'd captured everyone's interest.
"There will be others present as well, but it is my understanding that it is mainly for those who fought in the final battle," he explained. "As many of the same people are involved, it is also to be considered a celebration of the eldest Weasley's wedding."
"I kind of interrupted their reception," Harry admitted.
"You did," Lucius drawled sardonically. "I do believe that it was the Dark Lord's doing."
"Well, yeah," Harry agreed, "but I'm glad they'll get a second chance to have the reception."
"It will be far more than a reception," Severus said dryly. "This is a celebration of the Dark Lord's defeat, for those of us who were unable to celebrate when the rest of the wizarding world did, because we were still dealing with the repercussions of the event."
It was quiet for a few seconds as everyone processed the news, the students exchanging grins.
"We love a good party,"
the twins said in unison, grinning maniacally.
"I am certain you do," Severus said with a grimace. "I have been requested to ask if you would be interested in presenting a fireworks display."
"Of course,"
they agreed immediately.
"I will pass on word of your acceptance," Severus said, not completely managing to keep the sneer out of his voice.
Harry exchanged grins with Draco, already looking forward to the celebration.
"There is one other item we need to discuss," Severus said, moving quickly. He reached into his robes and pulled out several envelopes.
"Are Hogwarts letters?" Harry voiced their surprise. Severus nodded as he began handing them out. Harry opened his, Reading the letter and skimming over the list of supplies, it was pretty much the same as usual, and there were no owls the year before or anything. He was surprised when Hermione started squealing excitedly, and he looked up, smiling at her. "Head girl?" he asked, already certain of the answer. She nodded, beaming happily. "Congratulations," he said. "It's deserved." She flushed, her excitement tangible as the others began congratulating her as well. Harry turned his attention to Draco, who was simply staring at his envelope. "You gonna open that?" he asked softly. "I didn't think I'd get a Hogwarts letter this year," Draco murmured. Harry slid an arm around Draco's waist. "You deserve to be going back with the rest of us, you know," he said. "Do I?" Draco asked, some of the bitterness from earlier lingering in his voice. "No one is going to be happy with me coming back." "I am," Harry said. Draco cast him a sidelong glance. "Why?" he asked, a glimmer of a smile forming in his eyes. "Who would I have to fight with if you weren't there?" Harry asked. A smirk slowly formed on Draco's face. "You're right, of course," he drawled. "Your life would be no fun without me around." Harry laughed lightly. "Just open it, Pratt," he said. Draco opened his letter. Pulling out the slips of parchment, Harry and Draco's eyes grew wide as the head boy badge fell into Draco's palm. Draco lifted his gaze to Harry's, and they stared at each other. "Impossible," Draco breathed. Their eyes flicked to the badge in Draco's hand, then back to each other. "Obviously not impossible," Harry said. They gradually registered that a hush had fallen over the room. As one, they turned their eyes toward Severus, hoping for an explanation. Severus was watching them intently. "Severus?" Draco questioned. "What does this mean?" He held up the badge in disbelief.
"It is not a mistake," Severus said. "Headmistress McGonagall held a meeting yesterday with the heads of the four houses, and yes, I will be resuming my duties as head of Slytherin, and Professor Sinestra will be taking up the duties as head of Gryffindor, at least for the time being," he said, preempting those questions. "After a great deal of debate, it was decided that you should have the honor of being chosen as head boy," he said. Draco's gaze shifted to Ron, and Harry's eyes followed. Ron was gaping in astonishment at the turn of events.
"What about Weasley?" Draco spoke to Severus, but his eyes remained on Ron. He deserves it more than I do," he said. Ron's eyes widened. He knew as well as Harry how much that admission had cost Draco. Harry took Draco's free hand under the table and squeezed in reassurance. Draco gripped tightly, almost painfully.
"It would appear that McGonagall was correct in her belief that Mr. Weasley was no longer interested in the position," Severus said. "What I find most interesting is that you skipped over Harry directly to Mr. Weasley."
Draco's eyes darted to Harry. "I didn't mean..." He took a deep breath. "Of course Harry deserves it."
"I don't want it," Harry said quickly. "Considering his automatic response, Draco is clearly aware of that," Severus said, his lips turning up at the edges. "Much to the surprise of the other three heads, Minerva and I were also in agreement that you would not appreciate the position."
"But why me?" Draco asked quietly, carefully setting the badge on the table. His other hand gripped Harry's even tighter. "I don't deserve this."
"Amongst other things, the head girl and boy are chosen for their efforts with their studies, their leadership qualities, and their ability to effectively enforce the rules," Severus said. "You have all of those qualities."
"In case you've forgotten," Draco said stiffly, "I ignored most of my studies last year, and it's already been established that I won't be able to lead anyone. I can't effectively enforce the rules or help anyone if no one will take me seriously and everyone resents me."
Severus's eyes narrowed. "Your owl results were quite satisfactory. You have been a prefect in the past, and in case you have forgotten, you have the support of the most influential individual in the school."
he said. Harry finally understood the purpose behind Severus's earlier questions. Despite Harry's opinions to the contrary, the students will listen to him and follow his lead, Severus said. So you're saying that Harry is basically head boy, but I get the title, Draco clarified. That is not what I have said. That's what it comes down to, Draco said. And that's what everyone is going to think. They'll think I've been given the position just because I'm his boyfriend. Harry made a sound of protest, but Severus halted him with a warning glare. You have not been given this position because of your relationship with Harry, Severus said. There is a grain of truth, however, in the fact that Harry's support of you was taken into consideration. While Professor McGonagall and I believe you have earned the position, you are aware that many will not see it that way. Now you will have to prove to the students that the position is earned by performing your duties well, he said. As Harry has already mentioned, it will take a great deal of hard work, determination, and perseverance. He hesitated before continuing, his gaze flicking over Harry before returning to Draco. The beginning of the year will surely prove to be difficult, he said. However, you do have Harry's support. I do not doubt that he will make it perfectly clear that you should be respected in your position. A flash of smile crossed Draco's features, darting a glance at Harry. Yes, Merlin forbid the students do something to upset the Savior, Severus said dryly, interpreting Draco's expression. Harry smiled sheepishly, as light sniggers were heard from the others. Miss Granger, Severus said. She started, coming back to attention with her back straight. Yes, sir? One of the concerns when choosing head girl and boy is their ability to work together to lead the students, he said. Are you capable of working cooperatively with Mr. Malfoy? Hermione's eyes flicked to Harry, to Draco, back to Harry, then to Severus. Yes, sir, she said firmly. And you, Mr. Malfoy? Severus snapped out the question. Draco's eyes followed almost the same path as Hermione's had, only flicking between Harry and Hermione this time. Yes, sir, he said. There was one other largely determining factor which, even under the extreme and unusual circumstances, convinced the other heads of houses to select you as head boy, Severus said. Can you think of what that might be, Mr. Malfoy? Draco furrowed his brow, but he wasn't coming up with anything. He was trying not to show it, but he had obviously been thrown by being selected as head boy. He was flustered and not thinking clearly. Harry watched fondly, his mouth turning up in a small smile, as he thought about that first breakfast with the neutral Slytherins. Whether he knew it or not, Draco was capable of leading the students, and doing it a lot differently than he had in the past. Mr. Potter, your expression would indicate you are aware of the determining factor, Severus said. Would you care to enlighten Mr. Malfoy? There's no one better who could understand and help the Slytherins, Harry answered promptly. Draco's eyes widened in understanding, as Harry continued. By choosing Draco and Hermione, you've chosen two heroes of the war that can effectively reach all of the students, he said. Slytherin House right now will be set apart more than it ever has before. If you'd chosen me or Ron or someone from Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff, you would have only been reaching 3/4 of the school. Severus nodded in satisfaction. Do you understand, Mr. Malfoy? Yes, sir, Draco said. Are you prepared to accept your position? I won't let you down, sir, Draco said solemnly. Again, Severus nodded in satisfaction. I know, he said simply. Harry, are you all right with this? Draco asked. No, Harry said. Draco stiffened. It's going to cut into my snogging time, Harry pouted. I didn't want to be head boy for a reason, you know, and now you'll be off spending half your time with Hermione. Draco slowly smiled,
a genuine smile, filled with gratitude. "I promise I'll make it up to you," he said.
"You better," Harry said, but he was smiling.
He squeezed the hand he was holding, thankful Draco had finally relaxed his death grip.
"Congratulations."
"I'm very proud of you, Draco," Narcissa spoke up, her eyes bright.
"Congratulations, son," Lucius said proudly.
"Thank you," Draco said. For someone who could close off all their emotions, his face was currently a myriad of expressions, flitting one after another. He looked closer to unraveling than Harry had ever seen him around the others, and certainly no one was in doubt how much all of this meant to Draco.
"Hey," Harry said softly.
Draco looked at him helplessly, and Harry leaned forward and kissed him. He wasn't surprised when Draco deepened the kiss immediately, using it as an emotional release. When they parted a minute later, Draco appeared much calmer and in control again, although his physical appearance was more tousled, considering Harry's hands had found their way to Draco's hair.
"Further expressions of congratulations may be done in private," Severus sneered.
But Harry noticed he'd not said anything to stop them before. Severus knew what it meant to Draco, whether or not he approved personally, of Harry's methods of helping Draco regain his balance. Harry said nothing, refusing to be ashamed of kissing the person he loved.
"How do they do that?" Ginny asked.
"I don't know," Hermione answered.
"Do what?" Ron demanded. "They were only snogging. Although, I reckon you're right, because I want to know how they can get away with it in front of professors and parents."
"It was much more than snogging, Ron," Hermione snapped.
"Whatever the definition of their behavior, they will not be allowed to get away with it at Hogwarts," Severus said, directing a warning glare at Harry and Draco. "Draco, as head boy, will need to set a proper example for the other students." He was not impressed with them, but, as usual, Remus and Narcissa were smiling warmly. Remus directed an understanding gaze towards Ginny and Hermione.
"It is rather impressive how they managed to balance each other, isn't it?" he said.
The girls nodded.
Narcissa directed her response to Ron.
"Draco and Harry are adults, Mr. Weasley. It is not for us to control their actions."
Lucius looked like he highly disagreed with that sentiment, but he didn't say anything as Narcissa continued.
"As a parent, I find myself quite pleased that Draco has found someone who obviously cares for him deeply," she said. "Under the circumstances, it would have been understandable if Harry had wished to keep their relationship private."
Harry made a noise of protest without thinking, causing everyone to look at him. Narcissa smiled indulgently.
"Harry has made it clear through his actions that his main concern is Draco," she said. "If Draco is in need of reassurance, or anything at all, Harry is not ashamed to give it to him, no matter who else might be present, professors and parents included."
"And Draco treats Harry in the same manner," Remus said. "There is an openness and honesty in their relationship that is to be admired."
Harry exchanged glances with Draco. Draco smirked at him.
"You didn't realize everyone else had put so much thought into our relationship, did you?"
No. Not like that," Harry admitted.
"You just love him without caring what anyone else thinks about it," Remus said.
Harry shrugged. He'd put some thought into what everyone else might think, but Remus was right that he ultimately didn't care. He was beginning to feel uncertain, though, because with the way everyone was talking, he was doing things a lot differently than most people. Was he doing something wrong? Should he be caring more about how everyone else saw them? Would Draco be happier if they kept their relationship more private? Draco dropped a light kiss onto Harry's mouth.
"You're overthinking it, Harry," he drawled. "Stop it."
"Yeah, all right," Harry said, thinking he'd ponder it later. "We shouldn't be talking about us, anyway. We should be celebrating the new head girl and boy."
"Malfoy's really head boy?" Ron questioned.
"Yes, so you'd better watch yourself this year, Weasley," Draco said, smirking.
Ron blinked.
"Harry, we're in trouble, aren't we?"
he said. Draco and Hermione exchanged their first truly friendly glance, both of them clearly excited about the coming year. Harry wasn't impressed with the conspiratorial glee in their expressions.
"Yeah, I think so," he ruefully answered Ron.